Again, if you are a Christian and sitting here today and have lost hope, then you need to fall before your face, before the Lord, and ask him, how come I'm not experiencing this hope that you're talking about in this verse? That you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. If that the Holy Ghost lives in me, that I should be abounding in hope. In every area of my life, there should be hope. As a matter of fact, you shouldn't even want to be around people that lost hope, because they're going to mess you up. The Holy Ghost. That if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, it says that you should abound in hope. Upward hope. Inward hope. Outward hope.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Hope, Lessons from the Tree. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Hope, Lessons from the Tree.
There is hope for a tree. Wow. Are you better than a tree? Are you more valuable to God than a tree? There is hope for a tree. And if you're here today and you've lost hope about situations, circumstances in your life, ask yourself this question today. Am I more valuable to God than a tree? Because even a tree can have hope. And we see that there are three sources of hope that we have. Three sources of hope. Now, with three sources of hope, this is why I'm saying that a hopeless Christian is an oxymoron. We got three sources of hope. Again, I wish I had time to look at all these scriptures, but that's why I hand them out, so that you can take them and read them and look at them. First of all, there's upward hope. And this is generated from above, that God is the source of all hope, and that whatever we are hoping for must be rooted and grounded in him. That if I'm trying to take a situation into my own hands that I'm hoping for, and I'm trying to change it by my actions, or I'm trying to change it by my words, then that's the wrong basis for hope. That my hope must be grounded in the Lord. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. My hope is not built on my words. My hope is not built on my actions. My hope is rooted and grounded in the Lord. And if it's not rooted and grounded there, it's a false rock. Well, let me give you that song again. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other rocks are just sham rocks. Upward hope. Now, look at this. This is powerful. As a matter of fact, we need to read this one here. Romans 15:13. We need to read this one here. Romans 15 and verse 13. Look at this. Woo. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may what? Abound in hope. What is hope? Confident expectation of some good in the future. The God of all hope, that's the upward hope. And what has he done? He has caused hope to what? abound where? In me. Again, if you are a Christian and sitting here today and have lost hope, then you need to fall before your face, before the Lord, and ask him, how come I'm not experiencing this hope that you're talking about in this verse? That you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. If that the Holy Ghost lives in me, that I should be abounding in hope. In every area of my life, there should be hope. As a matter of fact, you shouldn't even want to be around people that lost hope, because they're going to mess you up. The Holy Ghost, that if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, it says that you should abound in hope. Upward hope, inward hope, outward hope. Since we're in Romans, let's turn there real quick. Real quick. Romans chapter 5, verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience what? Hope. Every problem that comes in your life, what should it be doing? It should be building your hope up. You gonna come against me? Come on, bring it, man, bring it. You just helping me to build my hope. That's every negative thing, every circumstance that comes up against you in your life, you gotta praise God for it. You gotta praise God for it, because why is that coming against you? Well, let me read the verse again. No, I don't wanna say it, let me read it again. It says that verse 3, and we know also that we glory. Paul said we glory in tribulation. We get excited about tribulation. We get excited about problems. We don't walk around, oh, woe is me, woe is me. He said we get excited when problems come our way. And why is that? He said because tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience what? Hope. And what is hope? Confident expectation of some good in the future. Even a tree can have hope. My last point this morning is that a dead tree can be rejuvenated. A dead tree. You know, my neighbor there was a tree that was on my property, but it was mostly in his yard. He asked me, which I didn't have a problem, he asked me, could he cut the tree down? I said, sure, go ahead and cut it down. He cut it all the way down to the stump. I wish he would have paid somebody to come and dig up the stump and kill it, take it out. Because you know why? Every year, shoots come out from that tree, and I got to go out there and cut them. So I know the reality of this verse right here. That even if a tree is cut down at the scent of water, it will bring forth boughs and live again. And that if you've lost hope, that there's no reason to stay in that situation, but your hope can be rejuvenated and your hope can be restored. Let me give you some ways that you can water your hope. How can you water your hope? Let me give you a couple of ways. I'm going to run through them. I got the scriptures there typed out for you in the notes so you can read right along with me. By seeking God's plans for our lives, it will fill us with hope. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans of welfare and not for calamity, but to give you a future and a what? And a hope. And a hope. That if you will seek God's plan, not your will, not the way you feel, not the way you think, if you seek the way that God feels, he says that he will give you a future and a hope. How do you get hope? How do you build your hope? Again, let's take this poll again without people raising their hand. How many people today, don't raise your hand. How many people today are sitting here and you have come to the end of the road. You are hopeless about a situation. Significant ways to water your hope. By reading the Word of God. Romans 15:4. For whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of Scripture, might have what? Hope. How are you going to build your hope? Get into the Word of God. Jesse Jackson, speaking at the 1988 Democratic Convention, began to talk about the fact of where he had come from. He said this, I was born in a slum, but the slum was not born in me. It wasn't born in you, and you can make it. Wherever you are tonight, you can make it. Hold your head high. Stick your chest out. You can make it. It gets dark sometimes, but the morning's coming. Don't surrender. Suffering breeds character. Character breeds faith. In the end, faith will not disappoint. You must not surrender. You may or may not get there, but just know you're qualified. And hold on, hold out, and you must never surrender. Keep hope alive, keep hope alive, keep hope alive. Now, that was the words of Jesse Jackson. Now, I don't agree with it. I don't agree with everything that he stands for and represents, but I think that that's a biblical phrase. Whether it was a biblical application, it's a biblical phrase. And what is that? Keep hope alive. Don't let hope die. How do you keep hope alive? Well, look at this. Abraham, in Romans chapter 4 and verse 18, look what it says. Against all hope. Whew. Against all hope, he believed in hope. That when there was no hope to be had, when there wasn't even that much of a chance for hope, the Bible says that Abraham believed in hope against hope. He was almost 100. His wife was 90, right? And he had hope that God was going to give him a son. That's hope, brother. That's hope. Keep hope alive. How do you keep hope alive? Three ways. First of all, prayer. You got to pray. Second of all, you got to envision the expected future. What is it that you're trying to get to? Where is it that you're trying to go? What is it that you're hoping for? You got to catch a vision of it. You got to see it. You can't be wishy-washy about it. You got to see the vision. You got to see what it is that you're hoping for. And then thirdly, you have to keep doing the things that work towards the expected future. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. You got to keep doing those things. Zig Ziglar, motivational speaker, he said this. He said, you can't do the right thing long enough and it not pay off. That if you do the right thing long enough, it may take a long time, but if you do the right thing long enough, it's going to pay off. Keep hope alive. My brothers and sisters, don't lose hope. Keep hope alive. Next, keep your eyes on the blessed hope. Amen. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. That's the blessed hope. That I'm waiting one day for Jesus. And I know there's different views as to, you know, whether there's going to be a rapture or not. And if you don't want to believe in it, then that's fine. But I'm looking for the day when Jesus comes back and he takes me out of this world. You know, whether I might leave by death first, but my hope, my blessed hope. See, people think, well, you know, this world is sinful and it's not going to get better. Well, it is going to get better for me. I don't know about you, but it is going to get better for me because I have a blessed hope. I have a hope that one day that Jesus is going to crack the skies, and when he cracks the skies, that he's going to snatch me up out of here, and I'm going to go back to heaven and be with him. That's the blessed hope. And we need, that anytime you start feeling down, anytime you feel discouraged, anytime you feel down and out, you need to look up for the blessed hope. Because that is the hope. And then finally, you got to live a life that's pleasing to God. Look at this. Paul said in Philippians 1:20, that according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. What did he say? I don't want to do anything in my life that's going to mess up my hope. That my hope is that when I stand before God, I can stand before him unashamed. And I don't want to have to give answers because I lost hope. I don't want to have to give answers because I didn't live right. I don't have to give answers because I didn't do right. The blessed hope. My hope is that when I stand before the Lord, that I will hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now, I'm winding down here, but I wanted to have a Q&A time. So let me come down here, and I want to have a Q&A time. But there's only two questions, and I'm answering them. I'm asking and I'm answering, all right? Because I know there are people sitting out there that are asking these two questions. Pastor, you don't preach this message about hope. And you done talked about hope as a confident expectation of some future good. All right, so I got two questions. My first question is, how can I have hope if I'm dealing with another person who is not willing to change? And my second question is, how can I have hope if I'm dealing with terminal illness? All right, so let me answer those questions for you. The first question, how can I have hope if I'm dealing with another person who is not willing to change? Well, the first thing you must do is pray for change. Pray for either God to change the other person or God to change you. We don't want to hear that, but all right. Next, you must be obedient to the word. You have to see what the Bible says about your specific situation and obey whatever it tells you to do. For example, all right, I'm giving you an example now. If you are dealing with a difficult employer, then I preach the whole message on employer-employee relationships. You need to get that message or get those notes, all right? Because it tells you how to deal with difficult, according to the word. It tells you how to deal with a difficult employer. So you need, you know, if I was having a situation where, you know, I was hoping for something and I was dealing with a person that wasn't changed, you know the first thing I'd do? I'd do a Bible study on it. I'd do my own personal Bible study on it to see what the Word of God is speaking to me about. See, people, too many people make decisions and they haven't consulted the Word of God. They consulted Oprah and they consulted Dr. Phil and they consulted Dr. Thrill and Dr. Peel, but they haven't consulted Dr. Bill. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. They haven't consulted the Word of God. They make all these decisions, and they haven't turned to the Word. They haven't spent any time in the Word. They haven't spent any time in prayer, and they make these decisions apart from the Word of God. So if I'm dealing with a situation where I got hope, but another person is not willing to change, then I need to see what the Word of God is speaking to me about. Secondly, how can I have hope if I'm dealing with a terminal illness? Well, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Word of God says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8. This is the hope of every believer, that when we die, that we want to go to be with the Lord. I mean, as I'm not trying to be cold, I'm not trying to be callous about that, but that's the bottom line, that if we know Jesus and we die from our illness, we know, what is the hope? What is your hope? Turn to, and I'm finishing up here. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19. Listen to this. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. That if the only hope that you have is in this life, And see, that's the problem with a lot of people, is that we've settled everything in this life. We built everything in this life. We've centered everything around this life. And so when things go wrong in this life, we lose hope. Paul said, if my hope is in this life only, then I, among most men, are the most miserable. That as a terminal patient, if you've got the news that you have a terminal illness, how can you have hope? Well, your hope is not in this life. The Christian's hope is not in this life. Our hope, our main hope, is out of this life. And so we have to encourage ourselves with this. There was a little boy who was 8 years old. He was going to have heart surgery. And the doctor said to the little boy, tomorrow I'm going to open up your heart. And the little boy said, when you open it, you'll find Jesus there. The doctor said, I'm going to open it up and see how much damage was done. The little boy said, when you open my heart, you'll see Jesus there. The doctor said, well, we're going to do this tomorrow and see what happens. And the little boy said, you will find Jesus in my heart because my Sunday school teacher told me, and the Bible says so. And then he started singing that song that he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. And the doctor began to walk out of the room, and he cried. He was a Christian doctor. He cried out to God, and he said, God, why can't this little boy have a normal life? How come this little boy has to go through all this problem and stuff that he's dealing with? And God began to speak to the doctor, and God said to the doctor, the little boy is a part of my flock, and he will always be a part of my flock. When he is with me, there will be no more suffering and pain. He will have comfort and peace. One day his parents, as well as you, will join him and my flock. You will continue to grow. The next day, the surgeon went in to do the surgery. He opened up the little boy's heart, and he found that the situation was beyond repair. He began to cry, but he knew he had to go back and face the little boy. He came, sat back beside the little boy, and the little boy quietly asking, Doctor, when you opened my heart yesterday, what did you find? With tears coming down his eyes, the doctor said, I found Jesus there. Our hope is not in this life. As I've been doing in this series, I want to close with a prayer. Here's the prayer that I wrote for those of you who may be dealing with hopelessness in your life. Dear Father of all hope, I come into your presence today needing a special touch from your hand. There seems to be no light at the end of this situation I am dealing with. I feel feeble, frail, fragile, frustrated, and faint. Thank you for being with me in the midst of my gloom. I pray for a bright and expectant future. I'm reminded that someone said there is a light at the end of every tunnel. Help me to see the light at the end of the tunnel of my circumstances. Jesus said that he was the light of the world. Help me believe that and see him as my hope. In the words of the hymnologist, help me to walk in the light, the beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. Shine all around me by day and by night.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of Do You Need Faith Lift Surgery? If you'd like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Hope, Lessons from the Tree, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Hope, Lessons from the Tree. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Hope, Lessons from the Tree, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.